Okay, and we're back with Tim White.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Laurie. Nice to see you again.
It is. And you've been here before, so we don't have to go through your story.
No, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So what do you want to talk about?
I'm like, oh, I don't know. Let's just sit here in silence.
That would be great.
I'm going on vacation, yes. It's like, oh, it's so nice to get away from snow. I keep telling everybody, the only thing white that's going to be underneath my feet is sand tomorrow. It's like, yay. It's lovely. I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, you know what? Don't rub it in. I've still got a few more weeks, okay?
Yeah. yeah, you get too worried. And then you go away. It's okay.
I know.
I'll still be shoveling at the end of March while you're gone, you know.
Let's hope not. Let's hope not.
Well,
we've had enough of this.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's been a long winter. But it's been, you know, what I like about this kind of winter is that you're inside and it gives you a chance to look at things in a really different way. And it gives you a chance to feel the warmth of the snow, and it gives you a chance to really kind of fall back into the warmth of the earth and understand that there's a flow in life. And when we have this time to reflect, because the weather enforces us to do so, it gives us this wonderful feeling of rebirth when the spring comes. So it becomes this wonderful, wonderful opening of the self, and you have this time to reflect on the things that have happened in your life. You have this time because the snow is this wonderful blanket, and I have these words from the rose coming, you know, beneath the snow lies the rose that, you know, in the spring mm-hmm. comes up. And I think about that when the snow is there, and I think about how wonderful and warm that makes me feel, and how it's a process of life. And when you look at the seasonal changes and what goes on, you understand that there's a whole flow in your life as well, and that things ebb and flow, and you have emotions that rise up and fall, and it's all part of the process of being who we are and being human, and having this mind body that we have, and having this connection through that to the spirit. And I think that's a wonderful, it gives me a nice warm feeling.
You know, it gives me a nice warm feeling too, until I think about the fact that we're supposed to get another 30 centimeters on Sunday or Saturday. And you'll be off on a beach somewhere. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know? But I look at the snow, and every time it starts to snow, I just think, oh, it's Christmas. It's Christmas. And I get this wonderful childlike enthusiasm about it. I'm a real positive person, so people look at me and go, how can you be so positive all the time? How can you be like that? And I was like, well, you have a choice. You have a choice to look at things in as a struggle, or you have a choice to look at things as something of beauty. And if we just make that conscious shift, it becomes something that's quite lovely. And you know, if you have a chance to, you know, look at the snow outside your window as it's falling, and you're looking at a street light, and you see this wonderful sparkle of these flakes that fall softly to the ground, you have a sense of wonder and a sense of the amazing ability of nature, of this world that we're on, and how it can regenerate and renew itself. And I think that's quite wonderful. If you just take that step back from the shovel and the mitts and the gloves and the boots and the long johns and the hat and the scarf and the earmuffs and all of those things, you know, if you can step back far enough from that to look at those things, to see that wonder, and then it becomes quite beautiful, and it doesn't, you know. And I've had a great time this winter doing shoveling as well, because it's like, yay, exercise. And I'm like feeling, oh, that feels good in my shoulders. The next day I'm kind of sore, but it's like, well, it's going to snow again, so I'm just going to work that out. So so it works, you know, it works really well. It works really well.
Tim, so, I hate you.
So basically, what I'm just stop complaining. Just get over it.
Yeah. I'll try and remember you the next time I'm complaining about the weather.
But we're Canadians, you know. It's like, well, we get to complain about the weather. We have enough of it, and we have enough differences. It's part of our culture. It's really part of our culture.
It is. And I know that we came in the collective consciousness coming into North America, coming into Canada, that we must have, you know, fallen into that. But I think somewhere deep within me, there is a knowing that I am not supposed to be here.
I'm supposed to be at the equator. And I'm just struggling to get out of this incarnation, you know? I'm just struggling to be somewhere else.
But that's
the great thing about your website and your job, right? Is that you can take it with you.
I can backpack my radio station.
So, I mean, and what better way in following your path and in following something that speaks to you and resonates with you and opens you up to this connection with other people, that you can take that with you wherever you go.
It is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And that must feel really good for you. That must feel... Yeah. How does it feel for you?
No, it is. It's very powerful knowing that you can, you know, you can do whatever you want, because I also do remote work as well. So, you know, I can go away on vacation and I can play and I can mm-hmm. do my work and I can
and you
do
can
the
write
things
it
I
off.
Love. Yeah. Well, I get to do the things that I love.
That's right. Yeah. And that's, you know, in creating my business, that was the whole focus. Was being able to do that, was being able to take it with me, because I don't want to be tied down in that way. I've done that. I've had that life, and it really doesn't work for me. So being able to manifest something like that, that is part of your heart, part of your soul, that reaches out, it's just lovely. So I have a great admiration for you in that. And
thank
I've
you.
Been able to take that forward, you know?
You know, this week has been a real test on that.
But it worked today. Everything fell into place. Hey, time is just time.
Illusion.
Illusion.
No, as I was contemplating why this was all happening, I kept saying, okay, I'm the creator of this, you know.
And what did you learn from it?
I did learn a lot from it, because I learned that it was following a same pattern that I've followed many times in this life, which, you know, I think, you know, ultimately it goes back to, you know, our separation from God. But, you know, I was in, and I don't often get into this place, but it was a real, it was almost a despair, because I felt it was an area where I had no control, and I had to really look at why would I recreate this, and looking at the different situations in my life on how this has played out many, many times. And so the abandonment issue, you know, and really feeling it this time, like I haven't before, but in a way of understanding how we can get so caught up in the maya of the illusion, and, you know, are so focused on everything out there and me giving my power away to other people or other situations that I had no control over. Because I had no control, I would put my power out there.
Right.
And then I realized, no, I have to reclaim that power, bring it within, realize that everything out there is just the illusion that I'm playing into.
Right.
And so did I really create this? All the players in this helped me understand why I was recreating this. And hopefully now this time it'll be the last time. Death of the ego, right? That's this year. I swear every one of my issues have come up. So this was the last one that was really kind of a big one, because it's probably played out the most in my life.
And you know, in understanding the illusion or maya of things, I have this question now, is do we really have control anyway? If that's if it's an illusion, if things are really an illusion, then that creation within the mind that we do actually have control, is that a reality as much as what the issues of non-control are in that way?
No, I think that's probably the biggest illusion that we have. I don't think we, you know, it's my perception that I had no control. It's my perception that I had to, you know, give my power out to something else outside of me, instead of understanding that, you know, ultimately I'm a co-creator of my life. I may not understand the cause,
right?
But I certainly can see the effect. And so it's getting to that place where you understand what that cause may be, what, or how my inner being,
and what part you've played in bringing that forward. Yeah, I understand that a lot. I understand that a lot. And it's really interesting in going through the journey, and because the journey doesn't end, it's a continuous thing, how these obstacles that come in our way are actually tools of learning. And as difficult as what they are, it's, you know, it's the river that meets a rock, and it will find the easiest course around it, whether it's to go over as it fills up behind with a steady or whatever, or it will shift its course around it in order to manifest, in order to get itself back to the ocean, to the one. And I find that when we do struggle, when I struggle, that it's a force that creates and manifests more struggle. So in learning to release that, I remember one time when I was studying professional dance, and I had stopped going to class on a regular basis because I found that it was too much for me on a mental place. And I went back into class one day, and I hadn't been there in, you know, a couple of weeks kind of thing. I was doing a tour à la seconde, so legs extended out to the side, and we're doing turns. And the teacher looked at me and he said, "Tim, if you keep that up, you'll outdance everybody in this room." And here was all the men from the company, and, you know, the principal dancer from the company, and I'm just going, "What is this about?" But what I realized in going through this journey was that at that point in time, nothing else existed except that movement and that connection to everything. And it was the simplicity of it that really caught me off guard. Because at that time I was going through a lot of things of my own insecurities that were manifesting and didn't feel that I was. It's only now after 20 odd years that I'm looking back at it and going, "Oh my God, what opportunities I was given." And I was just so in my own mind and in my own insecurities that I didn't even realize it, what I had to give. And that's something that I'm learning along my journey, is what is inside and that I can offer if people want to accept it. It's not always going to be the case, but if it's there, then it's there. I talk to my mom and she keeps saying, "You know, Tim, I just want you to have a good job and a steady income and just have security." And it's quite wonderful. I understand the love and the place and the compassion. And it comes, and it's also based on her experience, her environmental experience, and what her impressions or samskaras or whatever you want to call them are. And it becomes this wonderful feeling. I know that it's there. But she says, "Tim," I said, "Mom, I am rich." And she says, "Tim, yes, you are rich because you have a richness of spirit." And that's something that really, that means a lot. That means a lot, because that's the person that I am. That's the inside of me that's showing outside. And that becomes the more important thing on that road, on this road for everybody, is to make that connection to their spirit, to that divine creation, that universal energy, that whatever word you want to use, God, no matter what it is, it's all the same thing. It's what binds us together. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm struggling with right now. I was just at a meeting last week, and we were talking about how to bring things to people and how to motivate them. And our society, in order to create individuals, has separated us and segregated us into small little components of society that have marginalized us based on our differences. And what's interesting is that on a physical level, you know, it's only about 3% of our DNA that are different. So there's 97% of us on a physical level that is more similar than anything that's different. Mm-hmm. And we have this spirit that's in us, and we look at each other as physical beings, and we get caught in that illusion, in that Maya. Mm-hmm. And we forget that inside is this spark of light that is just trying to shine through all of the barriers and all of the expressions and all of the experience that we've had that brings us back, and we have these coping mechanisms that we think we're using. But if we just released it all, that struggle that I was talking about, was if we release it all, then it's just there, and we have this wonderful shining energy that just transmits, and you can feel this bubble, this tingle, that's the physical sensation of the spiritual, this spark, this light connection, mm-hmm. which I'm feeling right now. And I look into your eyes, and it's just like, aha.
Aww.
But it's true, you know, you feel that. And, mm-hmm. and like today, when you're having your contemplation. I try not to say difficulties. Or, you know. That's excellent contemplation. You know, when you came out of that, what was that? What did you feel when you came out of that? What was the physical? You have a physical sensation, an emotional, or?
Well, I mean, I really, because it had been going on now for several days, so mm-hmm. it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, this morning was probably, I mean, there were some bright moments yesterday, and then, you know, this morning still it not being up. So it had gotten heavier and heavier and heavier. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, enough. And so then I went into contemplation. And once that happened, once I said, okay, like first I felt it. First, you know,
Where did you feel it? Where did you feel the actual tension physically? Where did it manifest?
You know, a lot of times I get tension in my shoulders and my neck.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, and when I can't talk, when I can't speak, like when I can't say my truth, you feel like a tightness around your throat.
Right.
Okay. And I also felt a very heaviness in my solar plexus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like almost like a big ball. So I had to go through the different levels of, mm-hmm. okay, so where am I feeling this, and where is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as much as they say, you know, you don't have to ask why and you don't have to overanalyze, that's who I am. So I do, mm-hmm. regardless of, mm-hmm. you know.
Everybody has their own way in order to process things.
Exactly.
And you have to go by what your dharma, your mm-hmm. you know, who you are as an individual. So that process is as individual as what we are even.
Yes. I remember somebody saying something like, I misheard him. I said, did you say not to overanalyze anything? And he looked at me and goes, well, for you, that would be like not breathing. Right. So I was there, and once I really felt it and really, mm-hmm. and then just said, okay, but I am mm-hmm. the creator of my reality. Mm-hmm. I am the God of this universe. Everything in my reality is being created from me. So why did I create this experience? Mm-hmm. To remind myself of an issue that I hadn't healed mm-hmm. yet.
That's
so
right.
All of these players were mm-hmm. reinforcing, because I had an example already last year where I was been waiting for somebody to complete something.
Mm-hmm.
And But it wasn't strong enough because I still could have sort of control. But in this case, I had to really let go and let God. Mm-hmm. But I was so determined that I had to do something.
Right.
So it was that resistance to, you know, to really let go and let God.
Right. Yeah, would be exactly. To
totally understand that we are the co-creator. We are the power behind this and everything else is illusion.
Right. So was it, that's interesting because the two issues that you talk about are control and letting go. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting how there's a yin and yang. There's a dichotomy, an opposition of energies there. And one without the other is a balance. There's not a lot of action that can be done. So when we come to obstacles, you know, or issues that are brought up through certain situations, it gives us a chance to see what the opposing force would be, you know, either our active force or our reflective force and how those work. So sometimes it might not be necessarily an issue of releasing or relinquishing control, but how we must let go in order for things to actually manifest. Mm-hmm. And that's the struggle, the force of learning that, which is interesting.
Because I always felt that, you know, part of my issue around abandonment is that, well, I have to do it on my own.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I'm abandoned, so I have to do everything on my own. Mm-hmm. And so I went through various degrees of that through this week of, you know, people sort of wiping their hands and saying, I can't help right now. And, you know, and then waiting for this company, you know, who apparently had major obstacles to overcome. But, mm-hmm. you know, when you're on the other end of it and...
It becomes personal.
Well,
it becomes personal.
And it was really hard to not let it become personal.
Yeah. Yeah, because it affects what you want to do.
Absolutely.
And how you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you just want to sit there and go, no! Why? You know, bang your head up against the wall or take somebody else's head and bang it up the wall.
Yeah, that was kind of what I was thinking more.
Now, again, and that, again, is an externalization of what is going on internally within ourselves.
Right, yes.
Oh, what a sin for me. I'm giving you a hard time. But it's interesting when you talked about the shoulders and the communication and the throat chakra, because at the back, you know, where we have the exit to the throat chakra, it's our will center. It's how we communicate. And when you talk about the center through the solar plexus or the navel chakra, the jewel, it's our power within the world and how we manifest that. And it's quite interesting in seeing how physically we can relate emotional aspects to energetic aspects of ourselves and how we can use that knowledge, that information, in order to ease ourselves out of a situation. And that's the biggest thing, you know, is trying to ease ourselves around the world. We tend to force and press and push and shove and not be aware. And it's very much about concentration at the beginning of, you know, your process is concentrating on a particular point, and that's the first part of a meditation. Well, before you actually get to meditation, is being able to concentrate, and then from concentration, then you can start to move forward into releasing things from the mind and going into either a mindfulness, what they call in Buddhism, meditate on the absolute or nothingness, the all, the everything and the nothing, which is there. So it's really interesting how we can use that process. And you know, when you were talking earlier about yoga and that process, there's so much about it that combines all of those things. I just finished reading the complete works of Swami Vivekananda, who toured the States and Europe in the latter part of the 18th century, so from 1893 to about 1904. And it's interesting because what he talks about on the energetic level about yoga are things that science is discovering now, and about breath and about energy and about atoms and about evolution. That is just, it's mind-blowing that this information has been around for such an incredibly long time, and how we as human beings in that evolution have had to separate the spirit and the science, the physical aspects of things, in order to now, at this moment in the world, in our evolution, is bringing them back together. It's that duality that comes together when we get to the third eye chakra, Ajna, and it becomes that single unit. But through this whole evolution up through the other energy centers, it's quite amazing how all that kind of just falls into place. And I'm looking at this and I'm reading these things, and this man wrote this stuff in 1893, 1898. I'm looking and I go, wow, this is something people are talking about today, and this is over 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because he talks about this whole struggle and release, and in his letters that he wrote to friends and disciples and colleagues. It's interesting because you see the man behind it and what struggles he went through as well, of trying to inform and allow that information to enlighten and inspire people to move forward and connect. And I think that's a great deal of what, hopefully, that's my prayer, is, and it's what you do, is you bring that to people. You bring that information, you bring so that they are enlightened and they are inspired. And that's a connection that gradually through a connection with each other, we can, in our own sphere of influence, gradually spread that out to a whole, to the world and to the globe, and to create a wonderful healing and manifestation of what our potential is. Mm. I think that's quite lovely, and that's, and this, what you do here in having these people come and you interview them, and you have this wonderful ability to connect to people globally, because it's the internet and it's taking that new technology and using it to create this wonderful relationship around all of that, and it globalizes it and it brings it all together, which is really nice. You must be very proud of yourself. I'm proud of you, Laurie.
Well, thank you. Wow. See? And I wasn't feeling supported. Look at that. Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome. It is. Yeah, but it's, and oftentimes, we're not appreciated. We don't see that. We're not appreciated for what we are, not who we are, not what we look like, but this, that spark, that light that's inside, and the struggles that we go through in order to reach other people, because the journey is not alone. We're all together on this journey, and whether it's holding hands in a physical space, or it's actually speaking and connecting with people through the internet, it's all energy. Mm-hmm. It's all energy, and it all connects. The sound resonance of your voice and how that connects and how it affects people and the emotions and how all those things work together. When you do your meditations and you help people in that way, it becomes a wonderful calm silence that rivers just flow smoothly instead of over rocks and streams and things. The wind is out of our sails. We might need wind in our sails in order to move, but the wind in our sails and the calm of the water gives us a great peace, and that's basically what I see and what I appreciate about what you do is fulfilling that desire of your soul, of that spark within, and manifesting that for other people. How much more beauty can you get in the world than that?
Wow, so this show's been all about Lori.
Well, yes.
So you are able to eloquently describe it all, and also therefore offer your own teachings of who you are, because that comes through as you have allowed me to discuss my interesting week unfold.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and everything, every connection that we have, no matter where it is. And I mean, you know, it's your show, so you're usually the one who's asking the questions and trying to get people to talk. Every now and again, it's just nice to be able to share that, because everything is about sharing. What we share and what is brought up in that sharing is a way not only for us to learn about ourselves, but about other people, and what emotions that are brought up in us when somebody else speaks is a reflection of what we can learn about ourselves. Absolutely. As well. And to step back from that and to say, okay, I'm feeling this because this has been spoken and this situation is there. What triggers are those pulling in myself, and where do they come from? So like you, I tend to be very analytical in it, because I want to get back down to the root of it. I want to, and if it means going back to ancestral heritage and ancestral culture, then it means going back that far. But for me, I have to find that root, because then in finding the root, and the roots spread out, so you might find you have your tree that's there, and you have the trunk of the tree, and as it goes into the ground, all the roots spread out. So there become all these different spots, and the minerals come from different areas of the ground, and as we pull those things together, then we bring it up into the tree itself, and the leaves bloom, and we have the fruit, and we have the light, and we have the sun, and it all becomes this wonderful creation of how it all works, and that's, you know, that's the tree of life. That's the tree of life in that way, you know.
And I think that's part of your gift, is the grounding aspect, you know, being able to dig deep and be that grounded in who you are, that assists others to kind of, because a lot of people, especially in, you know, the new age type culture, you know, are really, you know, from the heart and up, and they're not really grounded into this physical world. And so that's, you know, we need people like you that are really deeply rooted and deeply grounded to allow people to get that balance.
Well, and you have to have that balance. I mean, you know, it's fine to be from the heart up, but we also live in this physical realm. So we have to have a balance between all of that energy. And the energy is not just earth energy and groundedness, and it's not just universal energy or sun energy. It's a combination. All of those energies are one, and it's combining them together that gives us that balance and that strength. Now, it's funny you say that I'm grounded. It's interesting. It's one of my things that I've had to deal with. And it's interesting, because in being a very spiritual child and being airy fairy or ethereal was the words that I always heard. It's interesting, because I grounded myself in movement and dance and in the body.
Perfect.
And that's a natural thing for anybody who is truly spiritual or highly spiritual or living in the higher centers, is that in order to ground themselves, it becomes physical activity which grounds them. So I went through that whole process, and in coming back to this whole journey that I had buried for a long time, it's interesting, because now there is more of a balance, and that's what people are now saying about me. So it's a whole different reflection that I have to get used to in myself, even though I didn't feel that I was that out there at the time. But I mean, you know, we were looking at it a long time ago. It's interesting to have that. So that's it. Thank you.
You're welcome. So we're kind of going over time. Why don't you, is there anything that you wanted to talk about what you're doing, or is there anything coming up or anything?
I'm doing my writing. You know, I've got, I'm doing my final, final edit and formatting for my, Reiki manual. So I'm going to have that online pretty soon. Cool. I wrote a lot more than what I had thought I had written when I opened it up and went back to it. I'm like, oh, this is not really a manual. It's like a book. What have you done? But it's interesting. And what I want to inform people about is exactly what you said, is that movement from the physical and up, or from the spiritual and down. So that's coming up online. And I'm going to be recording some meditations and stuff for people to download online. So I've done some samples and sent it out to get some feedback from people before putting it up and stuff. So but it all comes in time. It all comes in time.
Yeah.
It's lovely. Great.
Okay, so let people know how they can get a hold of you.
My website is www.theserenewaycom. That's one word, theserenewaycom. And that's where I am. You can reach me there.
You're also on MySpace.
Oh, I got MySpace. YouTube. I got YouTube. I got Facebook. I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere and nowhere all at the same time. I'm nowhere in my head, and I'm everywhere in the Ethernet. In the internet.
Well, as before, it's been quite a pleasure, especially, you know, the nice little ego boost that I got. But any time, Tim, that you want to come over and, you know.
Absolutely. I'm a hop, skip, and a jump away. Perfect.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And next week, we will be on the road with an interesting new guest, and I'm really looking forward to that. It is Dr. Michael Murdad, and so I will see you next week. So I hope you have a great week, and we'll connect soon. That's Intuitive Soul Radio, your host, Lori Houston. Thank you.